Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This story took place 8 years ago, shortly before I graduated. I remember that time very vividly. The hope and the fear that came with closing one chapter and starting a new one.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
My friends and I rented a house during our last 2 years of school, and most of us had already packed up some of our belongings to head back home shortly after graduation. All of my friends that lived in the house, besides I, went to high school with me, so I knew that we would still be in close contact in our hometown after graduation. Anyway, the story starts out with three or four of us going into campus to pick out our cap and gown for the ceremony. I think we had to go to the bookstore and wait in line to pick up everything we needed. I was last in line and could see that my friends were finishing up, but I had yet to be helped. I was then waved over by a young guy who looked like he may have been a freshman volunteer or something. When I walked over, he said something to me, but the tone was so low that I had to say, "What?" a few times for him to speak up. He then apologized, cleared his throat, and asked me for my name. I gave him my name and stood there as he sorted through the list looking for my name. He eventually found it when he came back to the boxes and pulled out my cap, gown, and some paperwork and handed it to me. He must be shy or nervous, I thought, because he had been avoiding eye contact this entire time. As I said thank you and was ready to leave, I heard him mumble something again under his breath. "Excuse me?" I said, and this time after clearing his throat, he looked right at me and said, "Do you know what you're wearing under it?" His stare was blank. I didn't know what to say. I think he sensed that I was taken aback, and he quickly put his head back down and shuffled paperwork and said, "My sister wore one of my grandmother's dresses under hers. Sorry, I was just making conversation. Thank you." And walked away. I slowly walked away and saw my friends laughing in the hallway, and I caught up to them. One of my friends, Stacy, asked if I was okay, and she said I looked like I was ready to throw up. I told her about my strange encounter, and she laughed and said she felt bad for the poor nerd. She said he would probably think about it all day and wish that he had said anything else. And that somehow made me feel better and quickly pushed it out of my mind. A few nights later, we were having a small send-off party at her house. It was a small group of maybe 15 or so people, and it was nice to see some of my extended friends whom I wasn't sure if I would or wouldn't stay in contact with once we officially graduated and went back to our hometowns. The night was fun and mostly uneventful. And then, at about 1:30 a.m., we got a knock at the front door. I think the three or four of us who heard it all huddled in the living room to try and see if we could see who it was on the front porch. We looked out all of the adjacent windows and really couldn't see anything. We decided to leave the chain lock attached and crack the door just in case someone was there. But when we cracked the door, no one was there. Most went back to the bedrooms, but Stacy and I stayed in the living room on the couch and turned the TV on. After we chatted for a little bit, I could feel that I was getting tired again, so I decided to head to my room, which was just off the living room. After about 20 minutes in bed, I felt like I was hearing a scratching sound, and I couldn't figure out what it was, but I thought maybe something under my bed was scratching the floor when I moved, or something hanging on the wall was moving and scraping. I'm not sure what persuaded me to do what I did next, but I got up and locked the bedroom window, which I noticed for the first time was unlocked. After hearing it on and off for another 20 minutes, I got up out of bed to see if I could find the source of the annoyance once and for all. As soon as I got out of bed, there was a huge thud on my bedroom window, which scared the absolute crap out of me. I ran quickly to the window to see if I could see anyone or anything. I didn't see anything, but after that, the scratching noises stopped. I stayed awake for most of the night after that. I wasn't able to get comfortable and didn't really feel very tired after the front door and now my window. 2 days later, we were getting ready on the morning of graduation, and some of us had a drink or two to celebrate, but mostly we were packing up some final stuff in our cars so we could head home after the ceremony. I remember I was doing my hair when we heard another loud knock at the door. I was running a little late, so I didn't bother answering it, even though I was closest to the door. I remember hearing someone answer the door and then calling my name. They said it's for you in a weird voice. I hopped out of my room excited, thinking maybe it was my family on their way to the venue for the graduation, but what I saw stopped me dead in my tracks halfway to the door. It was the person who helped me with my cap and gown on campus, the nerdy kid. I don't really remember exactly how the conversation went, so I'm just going to paraphrase, but I asked, "Why are you here?" To which he replied in a soft voice that I could barely hear, "I wanted to wish you good luck." Annoyed and a little creeped out, I said, "Okay, but how did you know where I lived?" And he responds, "Well, I was here the other night. You had a party, remember?" Increasingly more creeped out, I said, "Yeah, we had a party, but you weren't here." He then looked up at me and said, I didn't say I was inside." I just yelled right in his face and said if he didn't leave right away, I was going to call the cops. My friends heard me yelling and came rushing to the door, but it was too late. I had already slammed it and locked it. I told my friends what had happened and acted like I was fine and it didn't faze me, but inside it really put a damper on the day. I couldn't quite focus and enjoy graduation, and I felt as though I was going through the motions. I know for some this story may not be insanely scary, but this was one of the most unsettling events of my entire life. I often think about what would have happened if I didn't lock my windows that night. The positive thing is that after that day, I was back home and have only been back to my college town, I think, once or twice to visit. This time of the year, I tend to think of this story when you start to see graduation cards and decorations hit the stores. I'm just thankful that I never have to see that creepy cap and gown guy ever again.
Last year, my boyfriend Paul took me to Puerto Vallarta in Mexico, and we had the most incredible time. It was the last good experience we were able to share together before he left me. I'm single now, and I really wanted to do something on my own to maybe help me get over the breakup. I figured that I'd go back to Vallarta by myself and experience that amazing beach city as a solo traveler. Because I had a lower budget, I couldn't stay in one of the beachside resorts. Instead, I booked a house up on the hills through Airbnb. The pictures looked nice, and it had a pretty spectacular view of the ocean. When I arrived there, though, I knew that something was off. The house looked more or less like the photos, but there was a very strange chemical smell in every room, and the walls were still wet with paint, as if they'd just finished renovations that very day. The guy who owned the property, Miguel, gave me a quick tour. He was much more handsome than his picture. Honestly, he looked like a completely different person. I silently wondered if he was single. He assured me that everything was fine with the chemical smell. His last tenants, a couple from Canada, had trashed the place right before they left, so he had to do some heavy-duty cleaning before I arrived. It really wasn't that big of an issue. He told me that if I just kept all my windows open, then the smell would go away. I understood, of course. I really wasn't paying a lot in rent, so I figured this was the best I could get. I thanked Miguel and he left, telling me to call if I ever needed anything. He gave me the keys to the front door, assuring me that this was the only pair. I didn't spend much time at the house. I left to go explore the streets and check out the nearest coffee shop. The people in my new neighborhood all seemed really nice. None of them could speak English too well, but they smiled and greeted me anyway. After hanging out at the beach for most of the day, I went back to my Airbnb. I told Miguel that I'd probably be out all night, but I was jet-lagged and I didn't have the stamina. I'd have to do my partying the next day. As soon as I opened the front door, that chemical smell blasted me in the face. I'd kept the window shut while I was gone, for security reasons, of course, but that might not have been the best idea. I instantly opened all the windows and turned on both fans. If the smell continued to be this bad, I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep here. Thanks to the open windows, the smell began to dissipate. It didn't go away completely, but it was at least bearable. By about midnight, I went to sleep. I was just about to doze off when I heard a rustling outside the window right above me. I looked up, and I saw a shadow standing right outside. I could make out the silhouette of a man, a large man, who just stood there looking in, not moving. My heart pounded in my chest. I lay on the creaky mattress, too afraid to move. And that man grabbed the ledge and started to push himself inside. His head was right above mine, but it was still too dark to see his face. I waited, completely frozen. He pushed himself further into the room. His whole upper body was inside now, right over me. I couldn't just stay there. I had to do something. So I rolled to the side, jumped off the bed, and ran into the bathroom.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I locked the door behind me and waited. The intruder was inside now. I could hear him walking through the bedroom. Slowly. Casually. As if he had all the time in the world. He knew I was there, just behind the bathroom door. In fact, I could hear his fingertips slide across the other side of the door, almost as if he was taunting me. "What do you want?" I shouted. The man didn't answer. Instead, he just kept walking through the room. Then I heard banging sounds, metal against wood. He was smashing something, but I couldn't tell what. He wasn't hitting the bathroom door, thank God. He was hitting something else. I didn't have anything valuable with me besides my clothes and passport. I wasn't worried about getting robbed. I was worried about getting attacked. The smashing got worse. It sounded like he'd just broken through a table. I prayed that he'd find whatever he wanted and then leave. I prayed that I'd be safe in here until he was gone. If only I had my phone with me. If only I could call for help. Then I realized that I did have my phone. I'd been scrolling through TikTok while I brushed my teeth, and my phone was still sitting on the sink. I grabbed it and got ready to call 911, but I realized that I wasn't in America anymore. Was 911 the same in Mexico, or was it a different number? I had no idea. But I did know that I had Miguel's number. I grabbed my phone and called him. After 2 seconds of silence, with the intruder still smashing away outside, I heard his phone ring. It echoed loudly. "Oh my God," I whispered. The ringing was coming from inside the house. That could only mean one thing. Miguel was the intruder. Instantly, the smashing sound stopped as Miguel pulled out his phone and pressed ignore on my call. He'd just given himself away. I waited, but then I heard a soft rustle and disappearing footsteps. Miguel had just climbed back out of the window. After 10 minutes, my throbbing heart began to settle, and I slowly unlocked the bathroom door. I peered into the bedroom, and it was completely empty. The intruder was gone. I carefully walked back out, and I closed and locked all the windows. When I knew that no one was going to come back inside, I began to look for any damage. Nothing seemed broken. Then I looked under the bed, and I saw where all the smashing had come from. Miguel had been trying to bust open the wooden floorboards, but my phone call had interrupted him before he could finish. All I saw was a hole. But there had to have been something buried in there, something that he was trying to get at. I grabbed a wrench from under the sink and I started to chip away at the rest of the floorboards. After a few minutes, the hole was big enough for me to look inside.
right away, I screamed. There in the hole was a body covered in thick blue goo. That must have been the chemicals I'd smelled. It was masking the scent of a rotting corpse. It was hard to make out his face under all that liquid, but I could still recognize him. It was Miguel. Not the Miguel I'd met earlier, but the real Miguel. The one whose picture was on the Airbnb account. The man who helped check me in. The man who helped check me in, the man who had just snuck into my bedroom, must have murdered him and hid the body. Now it all made sense. Why he'd wanted me to keep the windows open. Why he'd made sure that I wouldn't come back until later. He was planning to remove the body before I could find it. I still didn't know what to do, though. I probably should have waited there and called someone, but I was so shocked from seeing the corpse that I guess I wasn't thinking straight. I unlocked the front door, made sure no one was outside, and then I ran down the street. I didn't stop running until I reached the police station about a mile away. Thankfully, the officer I talked to could speak some English. I told him that someone had hidden a body in my Airbnb. He took me in his car and we went back to the house. When we went back inside, I showed him the hole in the floor. By then, the body was gone. I called Miguel's number, but the call didn't go through. The number had been disconnected. Well, needless to say, I gave the police my full statement and then booked the next flight out of there. I'll never know who that man was, why he killed Miguel and pretended to be him. All I know is that I'm never going back to Puerto Vallarta. And I will never, ever forget that smell.
I had spent months planning my graduation party. As a newly minted college graduate, I wanted to celebrate my achievements with my friends and family. I had also invited a few online friends, people I had connected with through various social media platforms and chat rooms. One of them in particular piqued my interest. His name was Mike, and we had been chatting for months, bonding over our shared love for books and movies. I understand the fear of meeting people online, but after really doing my research, I was confident that not only Mike was real, but that he was a genuine person. The day of the party finally arrived, and my excitement was just palpable. As the guests began to trickle in, I eagerly scanned the crowd, hoping to catch a glimpse of Mike. We had never met in person, but we had exchanged pictures and video chatted countless times, so I had a general idea of what he looked like. When I spotted him standing by the refreshment table, I felt my heart race. He looked even more handsome in person, with a charming smile and deep-set eyes. I approached him and we struck up a conversation, immediately hitting it off. I was relieved and excited that Mike was exactly the Mike that I had imagined. As the party wore on, Mike and I spent more and more time together. He was witty and engaging, and I found myself drawn to him. However, as the evening progressed, I began to notice subtle inconsistencies in his stories. He would mention details that didn't align with what he had previously told me, and he seemed to dodge certain questions about his past. It seemed fishy, but I was trying to chalk it up to just my imagination, I guess. The more I observed him, the more I realized that there was just something off about his behavior. He seemed overly interested in my friends, asking probing questions about their lives and relationships. At times, his gaze would linger on them for a little too long, making them visibly uncomfortable. My unease grew as the night wore on, and I decided to confront him about the inconsistencies in his stories. He brushed off my concerns, assuring me that he was just nervous and had misspoken. I wanted to believe him, but this nagging voice in the back of my mind told me that something wasn't right. I used to have a horrible tendency to always believe people and be naive, and give them the benefit of the doubt, even when alarm bells were blaring. I exhausted myself to the bathroom and pulled out my phone, doing a quick search for his name and any information I could find about him. And believe it or not, to my horror, I discovered that Mike wasn't who he claimed to be. The man I had been chatting with online was, in fact, a convicted stalker who had served time for harassing and terrorizing multiple women. All the information you could ever want was right there, including his haunting mugshot. And now this guy was sitting at my party. How I didn't think to look this stuff up before was just another indication to me of how naive I am about the world. And panic set in as I realized the danger I had unknowingly invited into my life. I knew I had to get him out of my house and away from my friends. I called the police, and they advised me to keep him occupied until they arrived. Even though Mike wasn't doing anything illegal, I don't think, they figured it would be safe to check in and make sure the party was safe. I returned to the party, trying to maintain my composure as I re-engaged Mike. It felt like an eternity, but eventually, I saw the lights of the police cars outside my window. As soon as Mike saw the lights, his expression instantly changed. With intense anger in his eyes, he looked at me and said, "What are they doing here?" And it became erratic. Without even knowing why the police were called, he assumed it was for him, and he started to shout, "I can't believe you do this. You know me. You think I do this to you?" I tried to play stupid since I assumed that there was no way he could even know that it was me who called the authorities. The officers entered the house and swiftly tried to apprehend Mike, who at this point was just starting to go completely off the rails, yelling things. He started to pick up chairs and end tables and throw them around the room. He looked at me and shouted in my face, "You're going to be sorry." As the cops finally got a hold of him, he started to calm down. They were speaking to him in a quiet and calm voice, so low that I couldn't hear what they were saying. I could only see Mike panting like he had just run a marathon, and he looked genuinely shocked by the turn of events. As they led this guy out of the house, not in handcuffs, he stared at me with a mixture of confusion and anger. I couldn't help but shudder, realizing how close I had come to potentially falling prey to his sinister intentions. And according to one of the officers, apparently this is how Mike engaged his last victim, by winning their affection via social media and various other social platforms. And what was scary about Mike was that the man you would see in the pictures and videos was the man you got. There was no catfishing, no tricks, and no ruses. This sociopath would invite himself into your circles and break down the walls from the inside. A lot of monsters hide behind the internet, but not Mike. He used the internet as a jumping pad to enter your real life. The party ended on a somber note, I guess, but my friends and family rallied around me, offering their support and comfort. The experience was a sobering reminder of the dangers that can lurk online, hidden behind charming smiles and carefully crafted personas. I vowed to be more cautious in the future, grateful that I had managed to escape whatever harmful situation.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I could have fell into.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.